On today's podcast, we follow up on a conversation we had recently with Joe Casper, assistant coach at Duke, on an idea he called the energy pie. And we have today with us again, Coach Casper from Duke, as well as Dr. Mayur Pandya. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Keith.
We're thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, we got your background last week and talked about your journey through this profession, which for those of you who haven't had a chance to listen, I encourage you to go back there. Joe covered some great stuff with us. And I got to know Joe when I coached him at BW, and he was a player there. He's actually on the other side of the ball, helped us on special teams, so I would have some involvement there. But Joe's had a great career and very diverse in his background, and part of that has been his work, as we mentioned, with Dr. Pandya. So, Dr. Pandya, if you could please give us a little background on some of the things that you've done. I know for you, a lot of this really has been based on concierge sports psychiatry.
I appreciate again being here. And so my background obviously is in sports psychiatry, which really is sort of the infusion of clinical practice, clinical mental health practice in the context of sport. And my training, I'll take you a step back. So I went to Ohio University for medical school. And then I did my residency training at the Cleveland Clinic. And I was on staff there for about 8 years doing general adult psychiatry. And I happened to have some encounters with some high-performance athletes and work with some professional teams that kind of led me into starting my sports psychiatry practice, which is ACE Sports Psychiatry, based here in Cleveland. And so, a lot of the work that I do from a clinical point of view is really, again, just working with professional athletes, high performance athletes across, the three major sports leagues, several Division I schools, some individual professional athletes and such, as well as coaches and executives, because, I think there's been a lot of publicity and a lot of visibility around mental health issues in sport over the last several years. And so, we know that a large part of that is related to stigma and the fact that, talking about mental health issues historically in the context of sports, especially professional sports or elite sport, has been a difficult topic. But I'm, I think the tide is turning a little bit. And, I think that's kind of where I've been able to kind of assist some of these organizations and athletes and improving performance through addressing mental health issues.
And I think you would agree, Dr. Pandya, that this is still, even though this has been around a long time, this idea of sports psychology is really still kind of been in the background, especially in terms of the mental health issues. I've been fortunate to have a number of individuals come on and talk about those things. But it is not overall, I think, in the consciousness of coaches in general. You see a lot of times, and we've talked about this at length with some different professors and doctors, that you'll have these mental health issues that come up with players, and a lot of it gets misconstrued about, it's just a kid being defiant, or depending on all the different things he might be facing, and in that, it kind of it doesn't do service well to the coach and ultimately the team, because there's that disconnect there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it takes a lot of courage, a lot of vulnerability, depending on the level that you're competing at, to come forward and talk about these things or admit that you have a problem. I think, for centuries, we've always held this belief as a society that, elite athletes, should, I guess we assume that they should have some physiological resistance to mental health issues, right? They look like they are well developed, well trained, from a physiological standpoint. But I think people didn't really recognize that under the surface, mental health issues do exist. And you know, it still happens today. I think people sort of, some subset of people view the admittance of mental health problems as a weakness, right? And so that's where a lot of the education, both with athletes themselves as well as coaches, around the fact that, hey, you know, this is a part of normal human existence. And, you know, the other thing I oftentimes see is that, you know, people view mental health as a sort of a binary kind of concept, right? Like I either have good mental health or I am mentally ill, right? And that's not the case. I mean, it's a very fluid concept, and we all sort of fluctuate in a spectrum between wellness and maybe not illness, but we all have bad days, right? And so I think that's the thing that I try to educate individuals about is like, look, like admitting that you don't feel well mentally is okay. I mean, that's part of just being human, and we all have issues both on the field, on the court, as well as off the field and off the court. And so the sooner you recognize and are willing to say, hey, like I got some, you know, some tension at home, or I got some stress at work, the easier it will be to address it and ultimately kind of keep you, you know, performing at the level that you're accustomed to performing at.
Yeah. And it's something when we look at kind of how it's been misunderstood with how we handle it. And you just think about how in general coaches, and probably even to a greater extent, football coaches, because of the physical nature of the game, think that we can, you know, we're going to make you mentally tougher. We're going to, you know, we're going to run more gassers. We're going to run more hills. Or we're going to do this Navy SEAL workout, and that's going to, you know, make you mentally tougher. And the fact of the matter is those things have, you know, absolutely no effect on it. It doesn't address the issue. It certainly can get you in better shape, and maybe in dealing with that type of adversity, but the underlying issues never really get addressed. And we have to be, I think, more cognizant and more sensitive to that.
100%, 100%. And that's, you know, a large part of what I would say probably 80% of what I do that I think is helpful is education, right? Because the more I think people view this as an extension of a normal care, you know, I always go in and say, you know, you don't sort of second guess or question, you know, walking up to an orthopedic surgeon or to a primary care physician in a team facility. It should be the same with a mental health provider, right? Like that should all be the extension of the totality of your medical care.
So jumping ahead, both Joe and Dr. Mayer, looking at the combination now of these disciplines into ACE sports, psychiatry and performance, you know, and I'd like each of you to chime in, I guess, on this. But what you guys been able to put together, how does this really differentiate what you do?
Yeah, so maybe I'll start and I'll let Joe kind of chime in here. So, you know, when, you know, my background, my training is in medicine. It's in psychiatry. It's in clinical practice. And when I started my practice, you know, working with athletes, one of the things that I clearly, you know, am not well versed in is the coaching side. I don't coach sports. I don't, you know, I work with athletes, but there's a language and there's a special interaction between coaches and athletes that I think really can enhance the ability for athletes to really trust, you know, who they're working with. And so one of the things I quickly found out was that, you know, in terms of addressing performance, finding the right person to kind of come on board and kind of help expand the performance arm of ACE Sports was critical. And you know, Joe and I have known each other for quite some time. And one of the special things about Joe is that he gets it. He's very psychologically minded as a coach, and he understands the importance of both mental wellness and mental, you know, taking care of your mental health. And so, you know, I brought Joe on board, and Joe and I have been able to really, I think, create kind of a novel practice where we sort of address not just the clinical side alone or just the performance side alone, but really in true concert with one another, you know, where we will work with an athlete, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, later when we talk about Energy Pie, but just kind of how, like, we look at a lot of the same issues from different perspectives. And I think that really benefits the athlete considerably, you know, whether we're talking about just, you know, normal everyday kind of performance or feelings of failure to anything like depression or anxiety or other, you know, more serious kinds of clinical issues. So I feel strongly that, you know, this merging these two disciplines has really sort of created a really effective approach.
Joe, from your standpoint, yeah, the coach's perspective, how do you see it?
Yeah, well, I agree 100%. I mean, the first thing you asked was, you know, how do we differentiate ourselves, or what makes ACE different? And it is, in fact, the engagement of the two disciplines, you know, the psychiatric realm blended with the coaching realm. And a huge piece to it that I would say is the language piece, you know, in terms of communication with players. And how a coach talks to a player versus how a doctor or a professional talks to a player is so different. And one of the things that Mayer has done a great job of, just as an observation from an observing perspective, or from a coach's perspective specifically, is that his ability to blend language and make things relatable to the player is so huge, and it makes it real and it makes it applicable, right? So that's the thing, and that's the word I would focus on within this is, are we actually doing something for you? Are we moving the needle for you? And I think that's rooted in the fact that you can take information from us, myself and Mayer, and you can apply it real time, because it comes in a space and it comes in through a medium that is extremely relatable. It's not just the doctor and it's not just coach speak. It's a blend of those two things. It's the intellect and the background and the science that Mayer brings, and it's the relatability, the coaching philosophy, the understanding of the season, the schedule, the pressures on an athlete from being inside the building that I bring. And it's a blend of those two things that is what makes us most effective. You know, each of us in isolation of each other is, I believe, is pretty good. I'm confident in myself and I'm extremely confident in him. He is the best in the business when it comes to dealing with not just athletes and mental health, but just mental health in general. He's elite. And I'm not just saying that because he's my friend. You know, I'm somebody that personally, as a friend, engages Mayer on topics throughout my life, right? And I think that that's important to have a resource like that. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have that resource come in the form of a friend. But I think what's important is that, you know, we're each of us, like I said, individually is elite. I really believe that. But together, we really provide athletes, coaches, executives with something that they can really take home and really apply. It's the applicability of what we're talking about that is different, because we're not operating in theory. I think one of the things that happens within the mental health realm, and I'm going to just to touch on both these things, in the mental health realm, a lot of times I think it's spoke about in platitudes or in theory, or, you know, in just broad discussion, right? This is an idea or a concept. And there isn't an understanding necessarily from that professional all the time in how that understanding or that theory can be applied real time in your building. And what we try and do with the blending of the coaching perspective and the coaching philosophy is make all that theory make sense and be real and have impact real time in your building. And that's by having that understanding of what a season looks like, what the politics of a season looks like, what the feelings and sentiments are within a locker room, what it's like to be a player, what it's like to be a coach. And you touched on it, you know, as it pertains to working out and mental toughness and finding ways that, you know, to push guys, you know, that's great. There's a huge part to it. I mean, that's, you know, some of that is physical in nature. Some of that is creating. We touched a little bit last podcast, Keith, about, you know, creating struggle or creating adversity. That's a huge piece to this thing. I mean, I think that's a huge piece to athlete development, of course. But, you know, really, like, does the coach understand the science behind that activity? Just to take that specific example, does he understand the mental science behind that activity? I would say in most instances, no, the coach does not. You know, the coach knows to do that or does that because a coach did that to him. You know, what is the science behind that and how can we recreate that, right? So is there a way to create mental fortitude without making a guy go through the Navy SEAL workout that you gave an example of? For a traditional coach, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's just exactly what, you know, to me, it's just fact. They're not trained from a mental health standpoint, in most instances, of a way to create that same kind of adversity or create that same kind of manufactured struggle. They're not trained in that realm to be able to do that. So you have to educate yourself or engage a resource like Mayer to be able to understand what's the science behind that. How do we create that when I've got a player that physically, you know, I don't want to waste his legs. I don't want to use his legs on a Navy SEAL workout. So how do I create this kind of struggle or this to create mental toughness or foster mental toughness without killing a guy? I think that's just a really common day one, page one type example. And what ends up happening a lot of times in sport, from my perspective, as it pertains to this example, is the coach either says, hey, I'm going to let players slide. I'm going to adjudicate this discipline differently to different players, or I'm going to not engage in this process at all, or I'm going to engage in this process wholeheartedly and I'll deal with the consequences of that. Well, in this example, you know, to me, there's ways that you can kind of get around this or ways that you can operationalize this without it being option A or option B, if you have an understanding of the science behind it. So the combination of those two disciplines and engaging those two disciplines with an understanding of the context that each is applied with is paramount. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah. And I think you guys touch on, you know, the word elite. And I think all of us, you know, anybody listening to this podcast, I mean, this is designed to put our listeners in touch with some of the best around. And I've had a number of guys come on. I could think of, and I'll point, you know, our listeners back to some episodes. So Richie Gray, who actually is an elite rugby coach, has been on a number of times here talking about tackling, but also talks about coaching in general, or Fergus Connolly or Brett Bartholomew or Kurt Hester from Louisiana Tech talk about this interdisciplinary approach. Doesn't mean that, you know, Joe, you need to go out and be a sports psychologist, but you need to be able to be educated enough to be able to work directly with someone like Mayer, or work with other, you know, for lack of better words, departments within your building, right? We get in these silos, and I'm the defensive line coach, and so I'm going to just focus on defensive line technique and strategy and close my door and work on those things. Well, that'll work for you. You can be excellent at that. But if you really want to be elite and you want to help your organization be elite, there's that part where you need to understand how we develop the whole athlete. And I think that's a lot of what you guys are getting at.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would say that the first thing that it begins with, and I don't want to cut you up, I'll let Mayer go ahead in 1 second. I just want to add real quick to what Keith, what you said, is it starts with a willingness, right? So a willingness, whether it be of that individual coach, to engage or educate, and sometimes in the case of an organization, to engage or educate. And a lot of times it's sport by sport. We've found success in engagement one-to-one, a lot of times with athletes directly, you know, an understanding of what that athlete feels like he or she needs. So it's a willingness, number one, and then it's taking that next step. And we've found that a lot of people have been willing to take that next step, and to their benefit, I think it's been to their benefit.
Yeah, no, I'm, you know, two thoughts that came to mind as you were sort of making those comments, Keith. The first, I would say that it's critical for coaches to be educated themselves. You know, you can partner up with a mental health provider like Joe and I are doing, but I think there's no replacement for the coach understanding mental health, right? Doesn't mean you have to be an expert, but you have to have some basic understanding of what depression is, what anxiety is, you know, kind of knowing how to access the help. Because if, you know, players will quickly perceive, if you don't know anything about it, that it's not a priority to you, right? And so if you can't speak to it on even a surface level, it quickly, you know, the assumption is like, well, that's not important for coach to know. It's probably not that important of a topic. So I would say I would encourage all coaches, coordinators to have some understanding. And, you know, I mean, these are things that you don't need to be an expert at, but I think you need to have some statistics, some facts, some understanding, so that if a player comes to you, you know how to respond in that way. The second thing is, I think, in terms of being educated, is I think you got to know what your resources are. And the thing that sort of sparked my comment to this was, you know, you mentioned sports psychology. Well, so there's a wide spectrum of mental health care, right? And different providers. So there are sports psychologists, there are clinical sports psychologists, there are sports psychiatrists, there are counselors. And so you kind of have to know, some people are very focused on clinical, you know, mental health only without the performance side. Some are, you know, skilled in both the performance and the clinical, and some providers are performance based only. And so, you know, again, I see, you know, I go into different organizations or different venues, and I see people sort of interchange these words frequently. And until you have a knowledge of who your resources are and what they can do for you, you don't know what you need, right? Or what else is left, what stone is left unturned. And so I think that's where I would encourage coaches to really sort of be well educated, you know, within their organization or their school or their team.
Yeah. And going back to, you know, something Joe brought up there, the idea that you guys bridge the gap between performance coaching and the psychological side of this is psychiatry, with a common language that you guys could use to communicate, ultimately to better help the athlete. And that kind of takes us to one of those concepts that's been created by Ace Sports, the idea of the energy pie. And Joe, you talked a little bit about that the last time, but I don't know which of you would like to tackle this to start, but I guess probably what would be useful right now, even though we've talked about it a little before, but to give us an overview of what that is.
No, energy pie is something, it's really a cornerstone piece to, you know, what we at Ace have do. It's what we, it's a cornerstone piece to how we engage our athletes. And it's a theory that we have found to be extremely applicable. You know, we talked about applicability of what we're talking about, what we're trying to educate or how we're trying to influence. I think that one of the things it does best is it provides you with a real time analysis to be able to be applied by athletes, coaches, executives alike. And I'll kind of just start out by just discussing, you know, really by definition, it's an audit of our energy expenditure in relation to our mentality, right? So our mentality as a coach, our mentality as an athlete. And what does it mean by that? An audit of energy expenditure. It's, you know, where are we investing? I made the comment last time, where are we investing the soul of our spirit? So where are we? And I say it in such a way because it has to engage more than just the, hey, I spent 2 hours working out today. I spent 2 hours studying film today. I spent 2 hours practicing today. It has to be, you know, of your energy, of your spirit, how much of it was in that moment. You know, if I was while I was working out, I was distracted because, you know, something had happened to me. I had gotten into a fight with my wife before I had come into the building, or I have a flat tire that I know I have to deal with it and once practice is done. You know, all those different things take a toll on your energy, and it takes a toll on your engagement in the process. And I think that what's lost a lot of times is, you know, it's easy to break up and schedule and time manage. What's difficult to do is to really gauge your investment and audit yourself on such a granular level where you're looking at, you know, where is my attention? Where is my spirit in these moments? And that's where you're talking about your energy pie. That's where you're talking about where are slices of my pie going to. And I think that it's, you know, Mayer and I talk about the tenets kind of that pie, to add some depth to it. And then I want, you know, then we'll get a chance to hear from Dr. Pandya to speak even more eloquently than I can on the concept. But it's an understanding that one, every day is going to offer some finite amount of energy, right? All of us have an energy pie. Keith, you have an energy pie. I have an energy pie. And it's finite. The amount of energy within that is finite. It can't, you know, it's not, I don't have a big energy pie on Tuesday and a small energy pie on Wednesday. It's not like rest. Like I got 8 hours of sleep last night or 10 hours of sleep the night before, and I feel more rested. It's not energy in correlation to your rest. It's or your body or your physical state. It's energy in relation to really your mental state, but even deeper than that, your spirit and where your spirit is focused to. And it's an understanding, really the second piece to that is an understanding that every action either adds or subtracts from that pie. So whether it be, like I said, whether it be a fight you have with your wife, whether it be a test you have as a student athlete, whether it be an extracurricular you're doing as a student athlete, whether it be as a coach, your contract situation, whether it be your win-loss record midway through the season, all those things add or subtract from the pie. They have an impact on the pie. So if I'm busy at noon talking to my colleagues around the copy machine about the fact that we're, you know, got 3 wins and 7 losses headed into week 11, you know, I'm devoting energy to that thought and that concept, and part of my spirit is invested now in the worry and concern of, am I going to keep my job? Not so much in the task at hand. And when you're talking about divvying up slices of your pie, you've got to remember that, you know, where you're devoting that pie to, where you're devoting your spirit to, your energy to, is critically important. And we'll talk as we continue on this about intentionality and about discipline and how it pertains to each individual. But the third part to it is an understanding that everybody's pie is sliced differently, and what people are able to take on from an energy perspective is different person to person, coach to coach, player to player, executive to executive. It's different and individualized person to person. And you have to be mindful of that when you're working with somebody from our perspective, is that, you know, what works for you may not work for me, Keith. You know, what works for Mayer may not work for you, you know, and how, where you're able to devote your energy to, or how much you're able to put on your plate, or essentially metaphorically, how big is your pie? How many slices can we cut into this pie? And we still have enough to be able to finish our day as best as we can finish it. So it's deeper. I want to be clear that it's deeper than time management. It's deeper than understanding how, you know, am I rested physically, mentally? It's deeper than that. It's really an audit of where is my focus and the intentionality of my spirit. Where does that lie? And by auditing that, by having an awareness of that, and that's what the energy pie brings about at its core, is an awareness of that energy expenditure. So by having that awareness, you're able then to maximize it. And we'll talk about ways to do that. But Mayer, if you want to go ahead and chime in and maybe add some depth to any one of those elements, of course, by all means. I think it's, you know, it's I don't want to say that it's the best thing that Mayer and I have done, but it's one of the most unique things that Mayer and I have done and worked on together. And it's one of the things that we have found we're able to engage coaches and athletes alike with regularly. It applies pretty universally in terms of ways that we can be helpful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I always, whenever we talk about energy pie, I always think about a quote that I heard David Epstein say, who's the author of a great book called The Sports Gene. I heard him once say that the difference in performance between legendary and anonymity in elite sports is usually less than 1%, right? So there is such a small difference that can, you know, sort of change someone's trajectory between being really elite and failure, right? And so this is where I think we are trying to maximize the individual's understanding of kind of where things are at. And just to kind of summarize what Joe said, I think like this is about awareness. This is about understanding priorities and commitment, right? Like we want people to understand and to articulate kind of what it is that they want, right? And so the first, you know, when we work with athletes, a lot of the first couple sessions are just kind of getting to know who they are as a person and making sure that they truly know where they are going or where they want to go. You know, going back a little bit, you know, just to the discussion we had probably right before we started Energy Pie about, you know, the mental toughness and mental resilience. You know, one of the common symptoms that athletes will report when they are depressed or when they are, you know, mentally unwell is mental fatigue, right? That is a very safe symptom in the context of sport. And so many athletes will complain about mental fatigue. And if you try to improve someone's mental fatigue with, you know, meant by, like you said, all of the you know, the exercises and the wind sprints and trying to, because you believe that that's the way to make them more mentally tough, you're only going to make them more depressed, right? And you're only going to affect their mental health even more. And so I think, again, from an energy pie point of view as a conceptual framework, I think athletes gravitate to that because we're talking about sort of, again, the same language, trying to address their quote unquote fatigue, if that truly is a representation of some other underlying distress, whether it's a full blown clinical issue or not, it really, I think, brings everybody into like a psychologically safe place where everybody can have a very open discussion. And you know, we believe that success stems from maximizing an individual's performance mentality, right? So after we take this audit or this evaluation of where the energy is being expended, we want to maximize that performance, use all of that information to maximize their performance mentality, which we believe is the combination of purpose, approach, and commitment. So those are really the three things that we work on together. And, you know, just to kind of talk a little bit more about that, we, you know, Joe has his domains, so to speak, of the topics that he usually addresses, that he's comfortable with, that he brings from a coaching perspective, you know, those being things like intentionality, effort, discipline, to ensure that you are prepared, right? You're prepared for competition, that you understand the material, that you are at, you know, at your highest level when you step onto the field. And then from a clinical point of view or from a psychological point of view, you know, I talk to my clients a lot about their identity, you know, the environment in which they exist, kind of their goals or their future, because all of those things really are important to an individual's well-being. And you know, from a cognitive behavioral perspective, you know, one of the principal or central explanations regarding the emergence of depression or anxiety is the idea that individuals develop negative thoughts or what we call distortions in their head, you know, over time in three areas. And those being, you know, how they feel about themselves, how they view their world, and how they view their future. And so, you know, if someone's effort is not there from a coaching perspective, you know, we'll take a step back and say, okay, why is their effort not there? Or from a coaching perspective, if they're not being disciplined or routine or developing good habits, you know, why is that? Maybe they have, you know, some distress about their future. Maybe they have, you know, very strong feelings of failure and that they aren't going to succeed. You know, we know that when people are mentally fatigued, their perception of, well, two things are distorted. We know that their perception of effort is increased. So a particular task is going to seem like it's going to take a lot more effort to achieve, or they're going to have a decreased perception of the value of the reward or the outcome, right? And so these distortions will affect how motivated they are when they are mentally fatigued. And so that's just one example of, you know, how we will sort of use the presentation of an athlete or you know, a particular problem, let's say, in relation to their performance and examine it from both perspectives.
That's the end of part one of this conversation with Dr. Mayer and Duke's assistant coach, Joe Casper. We'll pick up with this again tomorrow on the next episode and focus on how these two areas interact in developing the whole athlete. Developing the full athlete is part of our football development model, which we've designed to help you build your youth football programs from the ground up. Check that out at fdm.usafootball.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you again for listening to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. Please, if you are enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes or Spotify and click 5-star for a rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps the podcast. Check out our new home for the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. That's at coach.com.